Now, I realize some of you are going to say, well, Father, we can't see it. You know, you're standing in the dark up there, and I know you people are murmuring and complaining, so I brought a way to help. I'm just going to hold this. Is that better? That's a little spotlight, but I will stand over here. I'll give an update about the lights. We got some sun here, too, so is that better? You can see me now? Okay. I know you hear better if you see a person, so. Lots of things happening, of course, with every week it seems like something different here in church. But and there's been some good constructive criticism, like the speakers are too close, you know, they're going to move those, it might take a while. But and then the outer sections are a little darker, I realize that too, and we'll probably let it stand for a while. Maybe we go through the seasons, and maybe eventually we'll get used to it and like it, I don't know. Or maybe you'll sit where you, spiritually, if you're enlightened or in the darkness, you can, you know, decide yourselves where you want to be. But a lot of things are coming along. I mean, they do have a touchpad now that it's not yet programmed, but I'll be able to hit like daily mass, or I can hit Sunday mass or adoration. Or you're going to say, why is this so dark? This is mass without a deacon. I thought that was pretty funny, actually. Anyway, now it's wired up now in a new way, and I can't use the breakers to override it. And they forgot these two track lights up here. There are 38 lights that I can't turn on. Maybe in the next week we'll get it figured out. Also, they have these windows that will be backlit every night. It's got an astronomical clock. And so from dusk until about 11 p.m. and then again 4 a.m. until dawn, those lights will be on. And you'll be able to see like this side on 9th Avenue. It's Holy Week. I mean, you've got Holy Thursday, the Last Supper, Good Friday, and the empty tomb on Easter Sunday. They're fantastic. They're beautiful. I think you'll really be moved by that. The readings have some themes, lots of them, but one is a very obvious one. It's dealing with our past. Isaiah talks about it. St. Paul talks about it. And then we have this woman in the gospel who has a terrible past, and she's being condemned by people that don't have much of a future. So we want to look at our own past. That Isaiah says that, remember not the events of the past. St. Paul says, forgetting what lies behind, I strain forward. But we all have a past, especially as you get older. I mean, kids don't have to think too much about it, but all of us have things in our past that trouble us, bring us sadness and regret. So a lot of times we just keep moving, stay busy, don't think about it. But when we do have time, those things can torment us. And one thing we can do about the past is give it to God. He's not limited by time or space. He was there when it happened too. And he'll help to heal it. I mean, at night, we should always make an examination of our conscience. How did we do today? Not just the bad things, but also the good things. And to thank God for the blessings and to repent of anything that I have to take responsibility. I did that and I need to learn. I need to grow. People don't accidentally become kind. They don't accidentally become charitable. They work at it. And it's a daily existence. I was just with these Poor Clare nuns. And one of them is in her late 80s. This wasn't in confession or anything. And she was telling me, Father, she said, last week I apologized to one of the sisters. And I realized later that I would never have apologized 20 years ago. And she was acknowledging that maybe it works. Maybe I'm growing. Maybe I'm becoming a better human being. It's just really slow and it's really hard. And so sometimes we just don't want to deal with it. But if we don't, if we bury the past, sooner or later the devil is going to use it against us. He is the master of accusation. He never forgets. And when you're having a bad day, then it's, oh, and that other thing that you did. Oh, it's too late. You can never change. That's who you are. God doesn't care. He can't love you. And those things are not true. God loves sinners. He does everything he can to convince us of that. But we do have to deal with our past. And going to confession is one of the most powerful things. And if you've ever had a really good experience, tell other people. I mean, I can tell them to go to confession, but it's going to be more compelling if you do. Hey, I just went. That was amazing. This coming Saturday, we'll have Father Eric here. He's a really nice priest, and I'm not, so you have an option. You can come to me, or a good cop, bad cop. But the idea is that we have to deal with our past. Forrest Gump, you know, he famously said, before you move on in life, you got to deal with your past. You got to deal with the things that you've been, the things that you've done. You have to put the past behind you, he said. A second theme is, it's this German word, wo ist gutes Bier? No, sorry, that means where's the good beer? I get that one mixed up all the time, but Schadenfreude. Schadenfreude is this German word for when we feel joy at somebody else's displeasure. when somebody has misfortune, and that's what these guys are like, reveling in this woman's brokenness. And she wasn't the only one. If there's adultery, there must have been a man. But these guys are seeming, they've got Jesus in the right where they want him now. These guys are really disordered. I mean, they really are to be pitied and prayed for, because feeling joy at somebody else's misfortune, I mean, it can happen to us. One time I was driving and Father Bob passed me and was going really fast. And then, like, I don't know, half hour later, I came up over the hill and there he was. He got pulled over by the cop. Yes! I said, who's your daddy now? I mean, I'm making that up. That never really happened. I would never let Father Bob pass me. Anyway, but when we feel joy at somebody else's misfortune, and you know what? We live in a very politically divisive time. You can talk about policies, but be careful how you talk about politicians or people that you disagree with. We don't get to judge them. That belongs to the Lord. And yet, so many times we get wrapped up in things and we feel good when the people we don't like get their comeuppance. That's a bad sign. That's a part of envy. And that's a deadly sin that hurts us. Now, just for some transparency, a guy I've always been hard on in my life, very critical of, is Aaron Rodgers, because I know that he was raised Catholic. He gets into all this New Age stuff, and I have judged him. I said things that I shouldn't. Who am I? I should pray for him. I contrast that with the little flower. You know, she became a Carmelite, and she died at 24. She had tuberculosis, but before she entered the convent, she heard about this guy, Pranzini. He was a murderer, and he was going to be executed by the state. He was going to die in Paris by whatever it was. And he wasn't repentant. He said he wasn't sorry. He wasn't going to have a deathbed conversion. And when the little flower heard about that, she started praying for him. She prayed for him a lot. And then, well, just before they put the hood on him so they could put him to death, there was a priest standing there that he'd rejected a number of times, but at the last second, he reached out to the crucifix the priest was wearing around his neck, and he kissed it, all five of Christ's wounds. When Trez heard about that later, she said, I knew it. God, you love sinners. You gave your life to save us. And whatever sins we've struggled with, those don't define us. And they don't have to plague us and make us feel shameful for the rest of our life. As a matter of fact, if we give those to God, we can become the most compassionate, the best friend that a sinner ever found. We can become an awful lot like Jesus if we just let him help us and let him teach us how to see the good, how to pray for people and not condemn them. The little flower is a towering saint, doctor of the church, the greatest saint of the modern era, they say. She's certainly one of my favorites. All of this matters because in the end, a story from my family. 3 years ago for Easter, I went down to visit my brother, and he and his wife, they have 8 kids. They had a lot of miscarriages too, so they have a number of them already home with God. 7 boys and a girl. And Therese, she's, at that time she was about 5, and I'd always, when she was a little, you know, I'd say, hey, Trez, can I get a hug? No. Trez, hey, come over. I want to give you a... No. She just wasn't very affectionate. And that time, it seemed like she was warming up to me. And anyway, we were having lunch on Easter Monday before I drove back here to Wausau. And she's like, Uncle Sam, I want you to sit over here by me. Okay. Why? Because I love you. Huh. When I go to confession, that's what I hear God say, because I love you. That's why I'm going to forgive you. That's why I came into this world. That's why I stay in this world. That's why I created you. It's something so simple, but we forget. And then like that woman caught in adultery, we feel shame and guilt like God could never love me. And that's false. That is a lie. And that's told to us by the evil one who sometimes convinces us in our moments of weakness. Let's look at our past. Let's let God heal it, because he does forgive. He does take away the sins of the world. He does love us. And if we believe that, maybe we can help others to believe it too.